Thanks for joining in with today's devotional podcast, Joy from Disarming and Alarming an Alarm System. You know, joy is an emotion that evokes such a wide range of feelings within us. Sometimes we're so overwhelmed with happy emotions, we shed tears of joy. Or have you ever been in a situation where you're laughing and it isn't just a short one-time laugh, but more of a belly laugh? Perhaps you're laughing so hard you find it difficult to breathe. And when you start laughing, it just can't stop. In that laughter, you realize that it's coming from something that is much deeper than a specific instance. This laughter that you feel is coming from deep within your soul. That laughter is an expression of joy. While the Smiths were on vacation over Christmas break, we rented a house. Having four adults and even a one-bedroom condo somewhere now feels cramped. Our adult children have no desire to be hanging out in one bedroom with us for a week. Yes, we do recognize this is absolutely a first world problem. The house that we rented had an alarm system with two remotes that we were supposed to be able to use to activate or deactivate the alarm system. But the directions for the alarm system were a little unclear, which presented quite some unique situations that week. The first night we were there, as we went to dinner, we set the alarm to away. Upon returning, we pulled into the driveway, opened the car door, and immediately the alarm sounded, long before we ever got to the house. It was a nice shrill noise in this quiet beach town. I glanced around to see if any of the neighbors were staring at us because this house was in the middle of a neighborhood. Andrew started frantically working with the alarm remote. Lane unlocked the door to the house, and Scott tried to figure out the alarm system on the wall. Now, by the way, I recognized my cognitive limitations, so I did not make any effort to help with the situation because I knew I would only make it worse. A few minutes later, the owner called to see if all was well. 10 minutes on the phone with the owner, and we thought the alarm system was conquered. Not long after the call with the owner, somehow, even though we were inside the house this time, we set off the alarm again. We laughed, figuring the owner was rolling his eyes, but ultimately we blew it off, thinking we had discovered the secret to the system. The second night, the exact same thing happened. The only exception was this time, Scott called the owner before he had a chance to call us. We couldn't figure out what was wrong. We pressed the supposedly correct button, but before we got to the front door, the alarm was ringing once again. So the third night, the same thing, the alarm was going off before we even reached the top of the driveway, we started looking around for different sensors. We recognized one on a column in the driveway. So from then on, we started trying to disarm the alarm from the car, which we would now park on the side of the street. No more driveway parking for us because of the insanity of the alarm system. Our fourth night, as we arrived back, we all just stood there, staring at the house with the alarm remotes in our hands. It was like some scene from Poltergeist, where after the traumatic experience with the house, the family just stands there staring at it from the street. I'm sure if any neighbors were watching, they found this to be a bizarre situation. They probably thought we'd never experienced using technology before. There was much discussion among Scott, Andrew, and Lane as to which button had to be pressed to deactivate the thing. We headed up the driveway, and much to our dismay, even after all that planning, the alarm started going off again. At this point, everyone was beyond frustrated, but I just started to laugh. Here were three reasonably intelligent people, actually pretty intelligent people, with two tiny little remotes that could not be figured out. And these remotes had three buttons: stay, away, and alarm. So surely this could not be that complicated. As I began to laugh, I couldn't stop. The look of anger and bewilderment on their faces just made it worse. They were certainly not thrilled with my laughter, which made it even more uncontrollable. After a few minutes of my laughing, they joined in. Keep in mind that familiar shrill beeping noise is still going off. You know, even though this was before I started reading the Book of Joy, when they began to join with me in laughing, I remember thinking in that moment, this is what joy must feel like. Joy is not situational, but it stems from an inner love and peace. I love my family unconditionally, and I know that in their own unique ways, they love me back unconditionally. I felt that love in that moment. Now, keep in mind, the Smith family is not perfect. We had been at each other's throats probably the majority of the day, because bringing four adults back together and living together in a house again after being separated for 6 to 9 months, that's a unique learning curve and something we were trying to figure out. It wasn't just easy. So I want us to really understand that joy is not something that can only happen when all the things are going right in our lives. Joy is not situational. It comes from a deep and inner love and peace. Regardless of the ups and downs of our journey, there is an unconditional love that God offers each of us. And when we give and receive that love, we will begin to recognize, feel, and experience true joy. Perhaps if we start paying more attention to the moments in our lives that may seem mundane or normal, we will realize that we do have that joy. Not everything has to be perfect to feel the emotion. It's deeper than that, and something that is available to us all. Desmond Tutu prayed, "Let us be still for a moment. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit so that they will be made new, and you will renew the face of the earth." Amen. Thank you for joining today's podcast.